The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
Last week, we began just a little mini-series. It's 2019, we've had a theme, and the theme has been being rooted, you know, in our relationship with God. Three messages that are going on this month, last week, that we ended up looking at a theme that we need to consider overall, and it would be that we should be trusting God. A core principle of a follower of Jesus Christ is that we should be trusting God. Amen? It shouldn't be debatable, shouldn't be an issue whatsoever. How many times do we come up against, yeah, we should, but we have a hard time doing it. And today, again, this is a three-part series. Today is going to help us as we understand how it is that we ought to be trusting God. And the key is that we need to focus on knowing God, on understanding who it is that's asking us to trust Him. Because I got to tell you, the more that you know Him, the easier it will be to trust Him. The God of the Bible, we could not know, but He has revealed Himself, and to the extent that we see His majesty, His might, whether it is through creation, natural revelation, whether it is through the Word, that the Word of God as He reveals Himself, whether it is through Jesus Christ. We have a problem today. People don't trust God, and I believe it's because they don't know Him. You know, it's in Romans chapter 11. I'm just going to go to a passage quickly, a couple of verses. But in Romans chapter 11, I'm looking at verse 33 when I get there, and it says this: "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first repaid Him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are what? All things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." It makes clear we cannot know everything about God. There's a term we use, we say that God is transcendent. That means He's not me and you. He's far beyond us. And the only way that we could know Him is that He has revealed Himself to us. But hear this, brothers and sisters in Christ, He has revealed Himself to us, and there are things that He wants us to know about Him. He wants us to have an understanding that His desire, and I need you to hear this from the beginning all the way through this message, His desire is to have relationship with you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not just a quantity of life, a quality of life. And that quality of life comes from relationship with Him. Our adult Sunday school, Roger Bassick, ended up sharing that there's a word for the term that's used when Jesus says, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." It's a quality of life that Jesus wants us to know because of Him, through relationship with Him. It's not just that we get more stuff and we have more things and we have more fun. That's shallow. It's that through relationship with Him, we end up understanding what life really means, and therefore what abundant life really is, because that quality of relationship with Him is accentuated. We live in a world of relationships. I've mentioned to you, Adrian's not here today. You know what? How do you start relationship with somebody? You think about them? No, it's more than that. Relationship would be communication. You end up hearing them. You end up talking to them. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you just think about them and think about them, and they don't know what you're thinking. Relationship is developed through individuals that are communicating with one another. God is communicating with us. Do you know that? This is not a dead book that was written hundreds of years ago and we pull it out from time to time. The Word of God is living. You follow that? This is God's Word to us. How many of you, raise your hand if it's really true, have come across a time when you open the Bible and you read something and what you just read was what you needed for that day? Coincidence? I think not. I think we have a God who knows us and loves us, and He wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand who He is. True Christianity is not just informational. Knowledge puffs up. But transformational, where relationship with another person ends up impacting how you think, where you go, what you do, what your plans are for the future. God wants to have relationship with us. And that's really a key part of understanding what God wants us to do. Knowing God, I need to tell you that we have the Word. Praise God. We have the Scriptures, and as you're into them, you end up learning these things. There are two books that are out there that have been classics. One is Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, and the other is the title is Knowing God by J.I. Packer. These two tools have been used to draw people to be focusing specifically on knowing Him. My own personal testimony, and I know I've got some Knowing God fans that are here that would go J.I. Packer immediately, and they want equal time. But I'm going to say, from my own life, somebody handed me a small book by A.W. Tozer called Knowledge of the Holy. And I opened that book, and I want to tell you, God used that tool to impress upon me the might and majesty and the awesomeness of who my God was. My God, you follow that? Because relationship is a part of what I picked up. And as I read through, and it moved me back to the Scriptures, because that's what any good book's going to do. It's the Word of God that we need to be learning from. I learned over and over and over things that I think have marked me. I would say that I am who I am, partially because of the things that I exposed myself to. I wanted to be a learner. I wanted to know. I felt so far behind everybody else. I wanted to know. And as I focused on the Word and on the words of that tool, and some have used Knowing God by J.I. Packer, I came to the clear distinction that our goal and God's plan is that we would be knowing God and not settle for knowing about God. This is crucial. I'm telling you, I don't know where you are. I know that all of us are in different stages of maturity or immaturity, but if you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to hear what I'm saying today. If we're going to grow, if we're going to find life in that more abundant, what God desires for us, we must begin to understand and have a goal of our life be that I want to be knowing Him, that I want to know my God and not settle for simply information about God. It's so sad that some individuals have settled, and it's too bad, but that's what some have done. And I've been around long enough to have watched it and seen it, and it grieves me. And if it grieves me, I know that it grieves my God. Statements that I came across in the midst of that tool that I talked with you about. Were we able to extract from a person a complete answer to the question, what comes into your mind when you think about God? We might predict with some confidence the spiritual future of that person. That's how much it means, whether you are knowing God or just knowing about God. Statement is made by A.W. Tozer, without doubt, the mightiest thought the mind can entertain is the thought of God. The weightiest word in any language is its word for God. Thought and speech are God's gifts to his creation, to his creatures that are made in his image. He desires that we would know him. Think back with me through the Old Testament. There was 6 days that they would work, and there was one day that they called the Sabbath. What was it for? God's desire is that they would use that day to know him. You know what happened, don't you? You know our tendency as human beings. They got into a mode where it began to be religion, and they did what they had to do, and they checked the boxes, and then they went on their way. Over a period of time, they neglected God. Now, when I share that illustration and I move to the New Testament, you and I know that Saturday was the Sabbath, and in the New Testament, they didn't come together on the Saturday, the Sabbath. They came together on the first day of the week, which was called the Lord's Day. And on that first day of the week, I want to tell you this, I'm convinced God's principle remained. Different day of the week, but you know what God's desire is? That we would use that day and set it aside to, help me, to know him. What has happened over the years is that we have gotten to the place that we pick and choose where we're going to go, if we're going to go. Maybe life's busy and nothing fits. Or we're going to go, but we go all too often because I like the music there. Or I like the preacher there. Or I like that they do this or they do that, and I go out of there and I feel good. Do you understand what we're missing? We're missing that God's goal is that we would know him. If you missed it, you missed it. But while we were singing the songs, we were singing about our God. He's awesome. He is so worthy of our worship. As we come right now to the Word, we need to know him. We need to be one of the primary goals of our life. Be that I want to know you, God. That I want to understand you. Some of you are young and you think when you end up getting married, you know, you'll get together on that day and you'll see your bride or your husband on that first day and, oh, does it get better than this? Yes. The answer is yes. Because I want to tell you, as you get to know your partner, we end up learning things we didn't know. And as we love our partner, even with the things that we learn, because nobody's perfect. Can I get an amen? Did your partner respond when I said that? I'm sure you were paying attention. We grow. 2000, I went through cancer. I learned things about Adrian I never knew. I thought I loved her. I love her so much more. Life causes us to go through circumstances. And as we go through the circumstances and our partner responds to us. Now, if you're here and you're not married, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, because this isn't about human relationships. This is about divine relationships. It is our God who is there with us through the ups and the downs and the struggles and the problems. And as I see him, as he is there with me through the hardest moments of my life, all I can do is love him more. Hey, I know it was said about human relationships, but I mean it differently. To know him is to love him. To begin understanding who he is and how he desires to be at work in our life. How many here know that God is not just a merciful God, but he is the God of the second chance and the third chance and the 14th chance, and that he is an almighty, gracious, loving, merciful God. Amen? Amen. That's our God. And I learn of him, and it causes me to love him. How sad in the Old Testament that people began being unfaithful and they began playing religion rather than having a relationship with Almighty, awesome God. And shame on us living in New Testament times with all that we know, the history that we are aware of and are able to know. And yet, how many of us, our goal is not to know him. Our goal is to be in church and hope it's good. And I got other things to get accomplished today. When he yearns for us to know him, that's his plan. That's his goal. A number of passages I'm just going to refer to briefly. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That was his desire with the people in the Old Testament. And there were some. Praise God for them. But there was enormous erosion that took place. God had to get their attention time after time after time. They were unfaithful to him. 2019, is this the best days of the church? Or do you, like I, look around and say, my goodness, it looks like the world is just falling apart before our eyes. And the church, rather than impacting the world because of us knowing him, are impacted by the world. And it become more like them. And not learning and understanding how to know God. John 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. I know you think that is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, he says, this is how you should pray. It's called the disciples' prayer. It's teaching us how we should pray. In John 17, Jesus talks with his Father. And as he talks with his Father, he ends up saying in verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life all about? Relationship. You hear me? It's no longer about religion. It's no longer about playing church. Jesus said to his Father, this is eternal life. It's relationship. To come to know the Father and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Go in your Bibles quickly to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. You know the book of Exodus. God has taken his people out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. They've gone to Mount Sinai. He is there revealed to them. His desire is to have a covenant relationship together with them. He lays down some things that they need to know that are wrong, because the culture is not going to teach you. You understand that? You need to learn it through God to know what's right and what's wrong. I pick it up, verse 7. Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, called it the tabernacle of meeting, and it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud, you know, the Shekinah glory, it descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle, and all the people rose and worshipped each man at his tent door. So the Lord spoke with Moses, how? Face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. What did Moses at that moment experience? Relationship. Now, it wasn't equal. We're not God. But to know him, to have relationship with him, the exquisite sense of our ability as we live. Chapter 33, go to verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know where your will send me. Yet you've said, I know you by name. You also have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your what? Your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight." His desire, Moses, he didn't settle for religiosity. He didn't settle that God's over there. Teach me your way. I want to know your way so that I can know you. Keep on going, because it's going to be, by the way, I didn't pop this up for you, but what it ends saying, verse 18, Moses said, "Now show me your glory." Chapter 34, keep on reading if you don't mind. For time purposes, let me pick it up at verse 4. He cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Moses rose early in the morning, went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. He took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord," Jehovah, Yahweh, if it would be, "the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty." You know what God just did? He just expressed who he was. You see, who God is the totality of his attributes. You and I have characteristics. You may say, you know what, he's a pretty kind person. But put him in the right circumstances, trying times. Anybody gone through times of pain where it just seemed like the grace that you'd been given, just it seemed like it just poured right through you? You know, things that you hurt and you struggle, they're not always kind. They may tend to be kind. A characteristic is a changeable thing. We desire to exemplify godly characteristics in our life. But God has attributes, and attributes never change. Never change. It's who they are. Do human beings have attributes? Technically, theologically, no. As much as you think you know yourself. But God has attributes. Who he is, is who he is. He does not change. Amen, amen. For as I know him, I know how, if this is how sometimes decisions are made, is that we know God's desire because we know his attributes. Do you follow that? And it guides us. And there's some things that we know are not his will because they would lead us away from who he is. God wants us to know him. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, this is a psalm that often comes up around Thanksgiving time. Why? Well, because it starts out saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know the psalm that would be there. But really, what I want to go to is a little further on in verse 6 and 7 and following. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses. You know, because it was there in Exodus 34. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw the Red Sea open up. They saw the miracles when God ended up bringing them out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. They saw that. They saw the acts of God, but it left them where they still struggled. They still had a difficulty trusting him. Yeah, he did it last time, but will he do it again? Moses asked to know his ways. And Psalm 103 tells us, you know what God did? God ended up showing him, make known to him his ways. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Those are not isolated verses. They're related to the ways of God. He asked to be learning the ways of God, and he was exposed to the ways of God. Do you know who God is?
Well, he's creator. He's almighty.
Do you understand his ways? We sometimes wonder if God really cares about us. When you learn his ways, you'll never doubt it again. You follow that? He has done everything he has done for us. That's why we make the statement, if you were the only person that was a sinner, Jesus still would have come and would have given his life for you. Why? Because that's who he is. Because those are his attributes. You follow that? He can't deny himself. That's who he is. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. That's the last passage that he wrote. The last thing here on earth that is recorded as scripture by Peter. He says, grow. Grow in the grace and grow in the knowledge. Come to know God more, and it'll help you to grow. These are lists, not complete lists. But when we think about the attributes of God, reasons for praising him and worshiping his independence, he doesn't need anyone. He doesn't need us. He chooses to use us. Has anybody recently said, thank you, God, not only that you've saved me, but that you desire to use me with my flaws and my struggles and my problems? You desire to use me because you're independent. You don't need me. immutable. God does not change. Omniscient, omnipotent, his omnipresence, all these things. Everlastingness, wisdom, and the list goes on of all that would be there. God is love. It's a part of who he is. Intimacy. He desires to have relationship with us. He's loving, he's kind, he's compassionate. There's just not time to go through all these verses. But this is our God. We don't come to sit and check the box and say we've been at church. Oh, God, help me to know you. Because you know what? This week, I'm going to need you. And I need to know who you are. One of the goals for your life needs to be, help me to know my God. Just as you were in a relationship, human relationship, and you say, you know what? I want a better relationship with that person. How do you do that? You want to spend time with them. You know, you want to spend time. Philippians chapter 3, go there. We need to close, but Philippians is a wonderful book. They all are, of course. I hear myself say that. In Philippians chapter 3, I want you to start in verse 7. Because he's just given a litany of things that everyone else would look at and say, wow, look at him. Look at his pedigree. Look at who he was. Verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, but what things were gain for me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, you there? That I may know him. Oh God, I want to know you. The power of your resurrection. Yeah, that sounds awesome. The fellowship of your sufferings. Really? Okay. Are you here just to get what you want, or are you here to know God? Because as we know God, we find that going through some of the trials of life, some of the times that you and I weep and we struggle, it is through those times that we come to understand, even there, he is with us. Can I get an amen? Even there, he is with us, being conformed to his death. Verse 12, not that I have already attained. Every person in this room can say that. There's no one here on earth that will say, I got it down, I plateaued, I know him thoroughly. He can't fully be known. You don't know what you're talking about if you hear somebody say that. Not that I have already attained or have already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Do you hear it in Paul's language? Do you hear it? There's a lot of goals, a lot of good things. Oh, this is singular in his mind and his heart. And it needs to be in ours. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Paul said, that goal, I want to know him. Those aren't just words. This isn't just one of the points of a message. Today, and the next week I got more points in another message. This is a singular goal that followers of Jesus Christ together need to say, that's me. That's what I want to do. That's where I want to be. I want to know him. I want to understand who he is and all that he wants me to be able to know. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The goal, the prize, knowing God. It may sound trite, but it's not. It's significant. It's important. It's vital. I have seen people through my brief time on the face of this earth who had what I had, but never grew. And they're mired in mediocrity. And they struggle over things that mean nothing to eternity. Because they never fully understood what the goal really is. I'm grateful that God put into my life people that helped me and made me know that this is what it's about. Trusting Him? Yes, that's correct. That's appropriate. That is what each of us is called to do. Know Him? I want you to know Him so that you come to decisions and it's not an issue whether I'm going to trust Him or not. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my all in all. I want to know Him more. You with me? That's really what it's all about. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. You don't have to turn there. It says this, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Oh, a man after God's own heart, David, ended up saying, I want to know you. May that be our goal as well.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit PalosBibleChurch.com.